Renaissance man, or in this case woman, has been described as a person who not only has lots of interests, but is an expert in several areas. Another word for such a person is polymath. While Leonardo da Vinci is hailed as the quintessential Renaissance man, my guest today, though a woman, is certainly walking the same path. Eloho Efemwai is not only a coach, but a singer, a speaker, author, radio broadcaster, and soon to be podcast host. Her life's work revolves around inspiring creatives and women of faith to stop doubting their potential. Sound familiar? She specifically helps them show up consistently on social media so they can grow their influence and impact. She runs Scotland's number one online Christian radio station called Heart Song Live from the beautiful city of Edinburgh. And you'll find her turning up the inspiration heat on her 6:30 a.m. morning show from Monday to Thursday every single week. Did I mention she's also a wife and mom to three kids, two of which are actually twins? Like me, Eloho is almost fanatical about adding value to the lives of people, especially women who struggle with confidence and low self-esteem. And you'll see why when you listen to her gut-wrenching story, which she shares with such authenticity. It literally moved me to tears. That being said, there was so much ease and laughter in this episode that 1 hour actually felt like 20 minutes. You'll also notice that she calls me Tosse throughout the episode. And if you listen to the first episode of the podcast, I mentioned that Tosse is the longer form of my first name and where the first part of my stage name, T, is derived from. Eloho calls me that because of the great offline relationship we have. And if after listening to this episode, you decide to join the bandwagon and call me Tosse, then you're absolutely welcome to. I do apologize for the audio being a little glitchy, especially towards the end, but I'm confident you will get great value from this episode. My name is Tiari, or Tosse, if you prefer, and you are listening to the Girl Unlimited podcast. Eloho, oh my goodness, you have no idea how much it means for me to say the words, welcome to the Girl Unlimited podcast.
Oh my goodness, wow, Tosse, congratulations, super excited for you though. It's been, I'm not going to give out that secret, but I'm sure you would have told your listeners already how many times you've wanted to start, but congratulations and thank you for having me on your podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, sis. I call her Big Sis because she is my big sis. I mean, having her on the podcast was a no-brainer because for one, she's one of the first people I shared the vision of Girl Unlimited itself. And she was probably one of the first, yes, one of the first people, if I'm thinking clearly. And it was probably because of the 3 month stint I did on Heart Song Live, presenting a show like a few years ago. And it was during those 3 months, I mean, for me personally, it was during those 3 months, I realized I couldn't only sing, but I could talk.
And, and you did with that show. It was brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you can dream, but I'm still trying to figure out why you decided to ask me to do that show, because
you asked me that question recently. I couldn't even answer.
She couldn't remember. And I guess it was just some sort of providence. It was maybe God's timing or whatever. And God just probably orchestrated things. But I'm glad I said yes. I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad I said yes. And another reason, guys, I wanted to have her on is because we share so many similarities. She is, first of all, a big dreamer.
And we both have a musical background, and we're music artists, and we have a passion and are on a mission to see women live out their God-given purpose. I know she does that, and she plays that out, I mean, full out. But that's where the similarities end, guys, because unlike me, she's much more a doer. So I mean, she's already told you how long I've been thinking about this podcast, and yeah, you know, but she's more of a doer, and she's accomplished so much, and in such a short time, it will seem, you know, and because I mean, she just keeps taking imperfect action, and I know personally that she's been faced with a mountain of challenges, but you know, along the way, internal and external, and some of it I know, but your courage, Eloho, I mean, and your work ethic is absolutely mind-boggling, to say the least. And I think our listeners will learn so much from you. So let's just crack on, you know. So I always like to go way, way back to the beginning. And
okay, sure.
What was it like for you growing up? And ooh. I mean, with hindsight, were there any indications that you would end up where you are now?
Yeah. Okay. Growing up. I mean, growing up was filled with all sorts. I mean, it was exciting because I'm the baby of the house. So everybody was like, baby, cute girl, big hair, lovely voice. Apparently, I started singing at 9 months. So I was, I was really the baby of the house, because even my immediate elder brother is 7 years older than me. So, yeah. So growing up was, it was good. It was fun. Lots of challenges, though, that I figured out afterwards had affected me, you know. But at that point, I didn't even realize what was happening. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a few examples. Like we had a brother who was a sickle cell. He suffered from sickle cell, you know. Mm-hmm. And so my parents were looking for salvation in any and everywhere. So they went to every place possible, you know. And then they went into this, I don't know, it's a religion thing, Olumba Olumba Obo. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So guys, just a little aside, if you come from the part of the world that we do, then you may have heard about that sect. It is it's an African religious sect. If you're wondering, if you don't come from Africa or from specifically Nigeria,
you may not know.
You probably will not know, but it is a religious sect. So please continue.
Anyway, so I mean, they went in there, and that meant we had to do everything that they did, you know. And somehow in my spirit, I knew that there was something amiss, you know. I don't even want to go through some of the things that I went through. But that really affected me. But being the doer that I am, I didn't realize that I was a doer then. I said, you know what? I don't want to be a part of this lifestyle. And this was me, a teenager who was just getting into secondary school. Mm. As soon as I left the house, because I was in boarding school for a couple of years, as soon as I left the house, do you know what I did? I said goodbye to that sect, religion, whatever they are. I'm becoming a Catholic. Do you understand? And I went straight. Yeah. I just went straight, and I got baptized. I got confirmed. I did everything Catholic, because
as a Catholic. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't know that part. So
yeah, you didn't know that part. I went into a Catholic school. Do you understand? And so I loved everything about it. I started praying the rosary. And then, you know, now I see how that is playing in my life and ministry, because I used to always love praying the rosary. And each time I prayed the rosary, my particular one will glow. It will shine. Do you understand?
So I remember those ones. I grew up Catholic as well. So I completely understand what you're saying. I was actually telling my family just a few weeks ago that the rosary I had used to glow in the dark.
Mine used to glow. And I just loved, you know, did everything. And then in my final year in secondary school, I was made the prayer prefect. So say. Do you know
confidence
what?
Was following you.
Yeah. I'm telling you. So it wasn't until recently I realized, oh, That's why I love prayers. That's why I love praying. But, you know, that experience for me, it kind of affected me, you know. Obviously, I was dealing with other stuff like daddy stuff, you know, being abused by my own father, you understand?
Oh, wow.
But all of that, yeah, all of that just kind of shaped me. And I lacked confidence. I think with the sect, my big brother, who was suffering from sickle cell, died the same day they were having a feast in my house celebrating, you know. So that completely just, I'm like, this can't be right, you know. How can you say you are so and so, yet my brother dies the same day you're celebrating? What's that about? Wow. Obviously, as a young girl, I didn't understand a lot then. But all of that affected me growing up. Yes, I've always been this happy, loving, I'm out there, you know.
Extroverted.
Yeah. But all of that had an effect in my mind, you know.
And how were you feeling in your mind? I mean, what sort of impact did it have on you?
I mean, I was just feeling all sorts, like, I mean, coupled with the abuse thing, I just felt not complete, you know. Right. I just felt I needed to please everybody, you know. I needed to be good, you know, so that I can be accepted because... Yeah. And I think it's that everybody wants to be loved, right?
Of course.
Wants to feel special. And to a large extent, I felt special growing up. I still remember my t-shirt. I had a t-shirt, I am special. But I didn't understand what dad was doing. I didn't understand this sect, you know? So I was confused. And then I grew up that way, believing that... I mean, loads of people took advantage of me because it was just, I was confused, bottom line.
Right.
I didn't know. And recently when I had therapy, my therapist was saying, did I feel like mom didn't help me or do anything to help me? I was like, the truth is that my mom loved me to bits, you know, and I'm sure she did everything she could, because when she was traveling, she wouldn't leave me alone at home. She would always take her on the journey she was going. So growing up was a mix of everything, you know, and to a large extent, it held me back from really living to my full potential.
Of course.
Yes, I was doing stuff. I was living. I went to uni. I was still myself, but there was this part of me that was ashamed, you know, to just show up or just be myself. And I allowed all sorts into my life. So that was growing up, but it was good. I mean, it was good. I'm sure that a lot of people would have been affected drastically. I don't know what it is that is there that just keeps me going. Yeah.
I want to dwell a little bit more into I mean, if you feel that you can talk about it, it's because I know a lot of people have experienced. I think the only other person I've heard this is me personally. I'm sure there are loads of other people.
Yeah.
But the only other person I've heard who has a, you know, who has the same experience that you have in terms of being abused by your own dad is Joyce Meyer.
That's why I love her so much.
I'm sure. And I mean, this is not, I'm Christian and Eloho is Christian, guys, but this is not necessarily a Christian podcast. But you probably, if you've lived in the world any length of time, you probably know Joyce because she's is quite formidable within the Christian world, and she's a preacher, and she's instrumental to so many people's progress in life in terms of she experienced a lot of abuse, and she's very open about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, I mean, when did the abuse start? When did it stop? What was it like for you during those days? And I honestly, in my mind, I'm struggling to understand.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, like I said, as a young girl growing up, I'm the youngest, I'm the last born, and everybody dotes on the last born.
Yeah.
So I just felt at that point, yes, dad loved me, but he was doing things to me he shouldn't be doing, you know, touching me in places where he shouldn't touch me. I mean, I shared my story in my book, You're Not Everyone's Cup of Tea. I didn't go into details because at that point I was still trying to heal through the process because that affected me, my marriage, for a whole decade. I couldn't let go, you know. So at that point, he would touch me in places he wasn't supposed to touch me, you know, and do things he wasn't supposed to do. I couldn't even tell anybody, but obviously my mom knew, because I think my dad, I don't know what it was. He, the same thing with my big sister, you know, and my cousins, and I think young girls. I think my mom knew that it was an issue with him. So with me specifically, she would always travel with me. But at that point, I was confused, like I said. I wasn't sure why that was happening.
Yeah, because dad loved you, but he was expressing the love in a different way.
Do you understand?
In a way you didn't expect him to.
In the way I didn't expect him. So like dad's gone out and he's come back. We all run, hey, dad, hugs. Mm. And then he always will put me on his lap.
Yeah.
And that was when he was doing his thing. And then at nights as well. And that's why I struggled in my marriage for a few good years, because my mind was just, I mean, that's what they say about the mind.
Yeah.
He will come at night and try to touch me and do all sorts of things. Wow. And when I'm sleeping, and my husband used to try and touch me then, do you know what? I physically fought my husband. I will push. I'm telling you, even when I had my first son and I had to go a cesarean section, I didn't know how it had affected my mind. They said they couldn't. I was under general anesthesia, but I was still fighting. I was still struggling for nobody to touch me there.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how it affected my mind. And
I applaud you, because I'm trying not to cry because that is such a not a lot of people from that point on. And we've heard of so many stories of girls. That's why we have all those organizations like A21 and they're not so many people, especially girls, are able. And I know there are boys who experienced the same thing. I actually read a book a long time ago of, you know, where it was the other way around, and it was the mom and her son. And I know how very depraved a lot of things are in our world, but it still shocks me to think that, you know, the people you expect to protect you,
exactly,
the people you expect to protect you from the outside world, because we live, especially as girls, we live in this world where there's so much that we have to contend with, you know.
Yeah.
You need to be careful when you're walking in the dark. I mean, there was a girl here in the UK, there was a girl not too long ago who was accosted by a police officer. You know, I mean, these are people that are meant to protect you. And if you can't even be protected by those that are meant to protect you, then what hope do you have?
What hope do you have?
But I'm so glad. And, you know, because there's something that Tony Robbins obviously says, that, you know, what if we see life, instead of seeing life happening to us, but it's happening for us, you know. So I believe that all those things that had happened to you obviously has given you this strength and this courage that I know that you have personally. I have encountered that courage and that drive that you have to be the shining light and that example and pull other women with you. It's one of the things I've always loved about you, and is this thing, you have this abundance mindset, you are very generous, and you have no issues, you know, pouring out into other people. And I know people have taken advantage of that. And, you know, that is sometimes the downsides of doing that. So, but it's not stopped you from going out and doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
I mean, especially, I mean, you are so visible on social media. And that is probably one of the places you would expect people to hide from. I mean, I know you mentioned therapy, and I'm just so, I guess, grateful for you and grateful that you were able to pull yourself from that. And obviously, I know it's not, wasn't just you, but but I'm grateful that you're here and you're able to, you're living to tell the story. So you're very visible on social media, like I said, and I know it is obviously part of the work that you do, and I know it's you're passionate about. I know you share that bit to everyone. Everyone who knows you knows you're passionate about. Where do you find the? I'm curious. Where do you find the energy? I know you're extroverted, but where do you find the energy and the inspiration to keep showing up every day?
Okay, so I'm extroverted, but I like to call myself an extroverted introvert, and you would not believe that. I love my space. Honestly, I love to just be on my own, and I think because of all of the things I suffered as well growing up, you know, because I felt that I had to always cover up. Do you understand? I didn't want anybody to know my secrets. Do you get me?
Yeah, wearing masks.
So I feel like, I feel like when people are too close to me, they know things that they shouldn't know. And I have seen that play out, you know, even recently, someone I brought in, I'm like, you see, that's why you shouldn't let people in. You won't hear. You know, so I love to show up, you know. So I call myself an extroverted introvert. People don't believe it, but that's me. Recently, a friend of mine came to stay with me because she had something to do, and she's like, I don't get it how we're in the same house and you are still upstairs. I was like, because I love my space. So that's another thing you didn't know about.
No, that was definitely another thing I didn't know. I know there's someone that did say something recently about, you know, you thinking that even extroverts sometimes need their space. You know, so I guess, and sometimes there are introverts that have trained themselves in such a way that they can show up like me.
They can
show up, you know.
Like you,
So, because I know there are people who think I am introvert, extroverted, but
no, you're not. Sing,
but I'm not. You know I'm not.
You're not. So, no, I feel like lots of creatives are introverted. Anyway, absolutely. So. How and where do I find this energy? I think it's just wanting to be a blessing to somebody, because like I said to someone a couple of days ago, for me, when I learn something new, I want other people to know or get to find out, okay, this is what I've discovered, and I think it will help you. So when I think that, if I don't show up, that one person or two people or 10 people will be deprived of what I have to offer, I just get up. I remember when I started doing, when I first started running this online radio station and then doing my radio show, I remember what one of my mentors said to me. He was like, you know what? We don't care what is going on in your life because we are looking for encouragement. Mm. So you can't come and then start to cry on us. It's okay to do that, but we're looking to you for encouragement. We're looking to you for hope. We're looking to you for inspiration. So I have to show up. I mean, Tosa said, you know my stories, most of my story. There have been times I don't feel like stepping out. There have been times I'm like, to what end? Do you understand? Is this going to work? Is it not going to work? And all of that. But when I think of that one person, even if it's just one person, I just, you know, let me just show up. And most of those times when I'm feeling that way, you know, I don't want to do this, that's when I get the most, maybe listenership. I'll tell you, a few weeks ago, it was a Thursday morning. I went, my husband was around and I took him to the airport. I slept off, so I couldn't go on my radio show. And then my sister starts to call me, where are you? Where are you? And then I looked, I checked the insight. There were so many people there. I'm like, okay, guys, when I'm there regularly, you're not there. So what's, you know, so I think it's just being able to add value to other people, no matter what. And then I love to take people on my journey because it's not like it's perfect. It's not like everything is okay for me, but I've determined that I will show up regardless. And so
you know, that's huge. That's really huge because sometimes people are looking to you for that consistency. Yeah. That's sometimes they're like, let's see how, not you know, in a necessarily a bad way,
bad
but
way.
Like,
no, yeah.
How long can I trust her to keep showing up?
Exactly.
I trust her to keep showing up? And then when you keep showing up and you keep showing up and you keep showing up, at least for the likes of me, I can speak for myself. I don't, I don't obviously get on the radio show that you present every day. Yeah. I don't know, but from time to time, I get these notifications from social media, either Facebook or Instagram, telling me Eloho is going live.
Yeah.
Eloho is going live. And I'm like, man, this girl knows how to show. And that's just what so in my mind, that's what I'm telling myself. I'm like, through the hard slogs. And like you said, I do know a bit of your story. I know that there are times where it is such a hard slog and you are if there was anything that could keep you from doing what you were doing, that if that cup could pass away from you that morning, it would. And you present your show really early in the morning as well.
Exactly.
So, I can imagine that it's not easy, but you keep showing up and you keep showing up and you keep showing up. And I can tell you that just that, I mean, I already mentioned to the listeners that you are a very generous person. And now we see that actually the heart behind why you keep showing up is because you want to be there for somebody else. So that in itself is
And you know something, you're talking about consistency. Trust is built on consistency. I remember when that part of me as well, organizing the gospel concerts and all of that. I had been doing that for like, was it 4 or 5 years in Aberdeen? And it wasn't until the 6th year or so, the Church of Scotland, some of the elders actually joined. And why? Because I'm like, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, she hasn't stopped, you know? And so they began to trust me because I was still showing up, you know, despite not even having the support, despite not even having enough funds to run it, despite going into debt, you know, and being thrown out of venues. And the guy was like, Eloho, I've been watching you. And, you know, for me, that like, okay, you can't even stop it because you find out that. And the truth is not, it's not because people want to give up on their dreams, but the circumstances, you know.
Absolutely.
But people are watching you, like you said. Let's see if, you know. So I found out that trust is built on consistency. You get people to trust you.
Is that no like and trust factor, isn't it? So
yeah.
Absolutely. No, I totally get that. And that's, I guess, one of the things that makes your brand so special is the fact that regardless of the hardships, and like I said, you've given me from time to time, you give me a little insight into those struggles that you have to contend with, and both with the online radio station, with the concert that you were running, even with the business that you're running on the side. And I mean, this woman, I came across a word recently, polymath. Now I didn't know that was what it was, but I knew there were people who were not just multi-passionate, but they had multi-potential. This lady calls, her name is Emily Wapnick, and she has this TED talk on YouTube that I saw, and she calls this polymaths multi-potentialites. So people who are skilled in more than one thing, usually several things at the same time. And that is actually interestingly the same meaning of Renaissance. So when you say Renaissance woman or Renaissance man, that's actually what it means. And the quintessential Renaissance man that everybody talks about is Leonardo da Vinci.
You
know, because he could do so many things. We know him to have painted the Sistine Chapel, but he could actually do, he was also an architect, if I'm not mistaken, and he was an engineer and so many other things. So you know, I'm like hearing all these things you're saying. Sometimes when I hear some of the things that you do, I want to go take a nap, like literally. You know, so, but I feel like I was saying that, you know, sometimes I feel like I have a front row, more like a second row seat to the evolution of Eloho, because you do so many things and you've come from somewhere, you know. And if I remember last year, you even ran a challenge that you called Evolve. You
know? Yeah.
What, in your opinion, is the key to evolving to better versions of ourselves?
That's a good question. What is the key for me personally is going back to your why. For me personally, you know, it's going back to your why, because the truth is that, especially in the world that we're in now, you can be swayed from, you know, oh, this person is doing this. I think it, I'll give you an example. One of my clients, for instance, another person did a reel and the reel went viral. Oh, I should be doing reels. I should be doing reels. I was like, okay, calm down, calm down. How does that, you know, fit into your why and your strategy? Mm-hmm. So I think for me is going back, you know, to our why. And also, personally, I want to be better than yesterday. I don't want to just be in the same spot doing the same old. They say, if you keep doing the same things over and over again, and expecting a different result, it's not going to happen. So it's not. And, you know, for years, I went around the same circle and I was wanting change, but I was doing the same things the same way. And I was expecting a different result. No, you know, so for me, going back to your why and focusing on your goals and your visions. Yes, there will be other things that will come to like dissuade you or, you know, try to get you to just, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I've lost it. But but it's like, you know, the certain people, we all say we want to be a better version of ourselves, but we're not really willing to put, in the work. Do you understand?
Yes.
So for me, it's going back to the why and knowing exactly why you're doing what you're doing and look for opportunities to help you, you know, get to that point. Last year, why I ran the 5-day challenge was I had been in business. I'd been doing ministry. You know that. And I was not seeing results like I want. We all have dreams, big goals, but I wasn't seeing it. You know, I always felt like a fish out of water. And because of all I was going through, I was suffering from a low self-esteem of myself. I had that buzzword, imposter syndrome, you know. Yeah. But I was just tired. I'm like, I can't continue like this. And I think it's that hunger for more, you know, that there's more. And for me to get more, I've got to do things differently. Mm. I've got to improve myself in every aspect. You know what? Even with the radio, every day, people are like, this woman, you know, because I'm like, I can't be giving you people the same. If you're Nigerian, okra soup every day, you know, I've got to spice it up a bit. So for me, I think it's just going back to your why. Know exactly why you're doing what you're doing. Know your goals and your visions and look for ways to continue to improve what you do. Even if it's good, even if it's better, it can still be best, you know. So I think for me, the key, the big key is just going back to your why. And
it's amazing you mentioned that, because I literally just finished reading a book for our book for my book club called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy, and you know, he talks about, you know, that instant that willpower will only take you so far, but that why don't we exchange willpower for why power? So why not anchor yourself in why power? And I was like, goodness, you know, so that is the juice, like you rightly said, that's the juice, that's the fuel, you know, that's puts that car in motion. You know, obviously there are other things like the, like you said, the goals, the dreams, which are the, you know, the gear probably, and the, you know, the ignition and everything, but the fuel is the why power.
Is the why power. Yeah,
absolutely. It's interesting you talked about imposter syndrome, because my next question kind of centers around confidence, which is one area that a lot of women suffer from. Oh my goodness.
You just talked about it.
So even in the midst of doing all the things that, so I know a lot of people have this, you know, this rose colored glasses when they are looking at music artists and looking at people that are showing up on social media the way you do. You know, I know you have this following. I know you obviously have a radio station and then you are a social media expert, and people will see all that and say, ah, no, she can't possibly be struggling with confidence.
Yeah, right.
You know, so just hearing you talk about the, like you said, the buzzword imposter syndrome. So I guess my question to you then will be, how have you personally dealt with, or how have you worked with, you know, done all the things you've done with the lack of confidence or the imposter syndrome?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm a big believer, and I'm sure you know that, Tose, for doing it afraid. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's helped me. The only thing that was that a lack of confidence and imposter syndrome was holding me back from being was my authentic self, my, you know, living my full potential, because I didn't believe in myself. I was like, okay, let me just do. When I started my concerts, yeah. Do you know what? I got people from everywhere, but I wouldn't sing because I felt my voice wasn't good enough. And people actually said things. And you know how people would say, funny enough, last night, I'll tell you this story before I continue. My daughter was doing a drama thing with her friend. I was on the phone, you know, and then her friend's little sister wore a really cute dress. And my friend and I were just laughing about the dress. Yeah. And they were wanting to get my attention. I was like, guys, I'm on the phone. Okay. So I went upstairs and my little daughter comes to me, Mom, my dream of being an actress, how can I be a good actress when people are laughing at me? That means people will be laughing at me all my life. I was like, yay, where's that coming from? If you see the way there was this righteous anger, I was like, no way, baby, whether they laugh at you, they don't laugh at you, you've got to keep on going. I told her a story about Jennifer Lopez, who had, even her mother didn't believe in her, but today she's publicly recognized. I said, so babe, it's like, okay. You
know? And the truth, just flowing from that story, the truth is that there likely will be people who will laugh at you. And that is just
exactly,
reality.
Exactly.
You're going to have to learn to rise above that. So yeah.
Have to learn. So you know, that lack of confidence, that feeling that, and one thing I didn't mention to you was because of my height, I always felt people were laughing at me and talking about me. I couldn't even walk straight, to say. I had to slouch.
Ladies,
I had to slouch.
She is a tall woman. I mean, I've only seen Elahor just a couple of times in my since I've known her, because we live in two different parts of the UK. But this woman is a tall woman.
Really tall. So I'm always taller than everybody. And you know how people make remarks and they say things? All of that affected me. So I just didn't believe I was good enough. Yes, I was doing everything I was doing. I was showing up. Mm. I would do concerts. People would come. But I would not be able to sing at my concert, you know?
Wow.
I maybe do one or two songs. And if I'm doing it, in my mind, I'm thinking, what are they thinking? How are they feeling? Do you understand? Being so focused about what people are saying and doing rather than focusing on the reason why I was doing it, which was to bring people together to worship. And then people were even helping by saying, you're not a singer, you know, your own is just organized.
Oh my God. Just flowing from there, right? I'm intrigued because... I attended. I have had the privilege of attending one of those concerts, and I've always been blown away. So one of the biggest areas that I struggle with that you are, I mean, I've said to you previously that I see that as your superpower. You know how to get people together, and you know, I mean, how do you reach out with all that's going on within you? Right? I'm just intrigued. How do you reach out to these well-known artists, you know, from across the pond? So these are not even people that are within the UK. This lady reaches out to people in the Caribbean, in the person of Chevelle Franklin,
and then
she's reached out to Bob Fitz at the other end of that. And then, you know, so just people that I would, well, if I was going to type to such people, my hands would probably be shaking. All that was going on within you, how are you able to do that? How are you able to still show up with that superpower?
So I think one of the things that has helped me is, you know, I have a very playful, very, very playful nature, very, very simple. And so I think it's maybe in the way I approach them, I don't know. Because, I mean, Cheval, like you say, for instance, her husband is one tough cookie. But how I got him, I don't even know, you know, until date. If I ask Colin for Cheval, he's ready to say, yes, Cheval will do it. And the same thing, even with Philippa, Muyiwa, and Stephen. And I'm like, so what is it that they see in me that I don't see in myself? You know, so I think maybe it's just coming from that place of humility, one, and to say that there's something about you that resonates with me, and I think my audience will benefit from it. You know, like we talk about in social media now, add value to the lives of people. Mm-hmm. People want to see how this will benefit them, not necessarily how it will benefit you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you say to them, okay, we've got over 800 people attending, okay, maybe I could sell my merchandise. I'm just talking. But I think it's just probably valuing people, and not sometimes you clearly know that people just want to use you for certain things, but being able to show people that, you know, sincerely, genuinely, I don't have the money or I don't have anything, but I believe that you will be a blessing. So I think that's how. And obviously I've used social media right from the start a lot. Yeah. And that's what helps me to get the crowd in. And I'm sure you're going to talk about asking about social media again, but you know, being able to put myself in people's shoes, you know, talk to people and just be myself.
Yeah.
So, and I think that just drew the audience to me. I thought that it was the names that was making people come. Mm. Yes, they were coming and people were excited, but really, really, because people bought into my vision, not necessarily because of the names. Mm. The names were just an addition. And I'll tell you why. In 2018, was it? In 2018, when I was going to do the concert, one of the big artists, you know that story. Yeah. You were part of that story, you know, disappointed me and wouldn't come. And there I was crying, feeling like first thing is not going to be there.
Gosh, so people, was that 2018? It feels it was so much longer than that.
Yeah, it was 2018, you know. And thankfully, I had started coaching then. And one of the things my coach said to me was the same thing, that Eloho, people should come to your event for you. They should buy into your vision, not necessarily the people that, you know, that you are bringing. And it's fine. They spice it up, but let them come for you. Even if you're not singing, even the words that you speak should, you know, reach out to them in a way that they feel welcome, loved, special, and all of that. So I went in with that mindset, you know, in 2018. I was still shaking, my shaky, shaky self. But at the end of that event, there's one Scottish guy I call my Scottish father. On his way back to Aberdeen, because he came, he told my friend, I've never seen Eloho in that light before. She was so free to express herself. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Something broke when I realized that, you know what, Eloho, people are there for you, because you are going to introduce the people anyway. Do you understand? So
I've got a question just from what you're saying. How then do you sell people that vision? How do you get people to buy into that vision? Into your vision, a vision?
The way I have sold my vision is just by being me. Being me, taking them on my journey. Because I was talking a lot about my journey, my story. Obviously, I was not giving away too much because I hadn't released my book then, which told a lot more. But I had a powerful story of rejection. And you know that story as well, you know. And then letting people know that despite that season in my life, I'm not going to stop doing what God has ordained me to do. I'm still going to live my purpose. And the truth is that we never really discover our purpose, does it? We're always evolving. God is always revealing stuff.
You're getting in there. Yeah.
Who would have thought that, you know, five, six, 7 years ago when I was just doing the concerts. At that point, it was only the concerts. But see how, you know, it's building. And I think that's one thing that holds a lot of women back from actually living their full potential. Firstly, you think you have to have it all together. No, you don't. You have all of these big dreams. Just start somewhere. Perfect it later and keep growing, keep evolving. There's still more to come for me.
Absolutely. No, I totally hear what you're saying. I totally hear what you're saying, that there's this thing we're always waiting for, this eureka. I know personally, because that's where I'm coming from personally. So you always, there's this eureka that you think is going to be. That's why the vision of Girl Unlimited is built under God-given unlimited potential. Mm-hmm. And embracing the unlimited possibilities that are out there. Because when those two are combined, then like you said, you just keep evolving, because
you
are tapping into that potential that you have that is already within you. And then you are embracing the possibilities, because many times, sometimes we have the potential, we don't think the opportunities are there, but the opportunities are all around us. The problem is that many times, we don't see it, because we either, for whatever reason, we either don't think it's for us, or we you know, the imposter syndrome thing again, we don't think we are worth it, you know, but they're there. And what I'm hearing you say is that you take, so basically what you've done and how you've evolved is, an opportunity has presented itself. You have seen possibilities.
Just go for it.
And you've gone for it imperfectly, you know. And you've gone for it. And that's how you keep evolving. And I totally agree. I don't think there's any way, if I hadn't taken that step to become a music artist, there is no way the podcast that I've finally birthed would have come to being. So I completely agree with you. My next question is in terms of, so I was reading your about page on your website. Beautiful, beautiful. You guys need to visit it. It's, if I'm not mistaken, it's www.elohofmy.com.
Yeah.
Yes.
.co.uk.
.co.uk. Sorry, guys, it's .co.uk. So she's decided to keep it British.
Yeah, we're British.
So you said, there was the statement that stood out to me and it literally gave me goosebumps, because I could completely identify. And we talked a little bit about it, the polymath thing and everything. You said, I refuse to allow anyone put me in a box. So I was like, okay, so I'm hearing a lot of personal experience from that. So I guess my question then is, could you share a situation where someone probably tried to put you in a box, or where you were trying to fit into a box, or something like that?
Okay. It will still be around my music. I'll go back to my music. When I released my first album, loads of people were telling me how amazing it was, and all of that. Before I even got out, firstly, I decided things differently, because, and that's something I love to just try things. When people are releasing an album, the thing that they do most likely is an album release concert. But I said, you know what? I don't want to do a concert. I want to have a dinner party. And okay, everybody was like, are you okay? Are you normal? In fact, one of my friends actually sent me a message. I mean, bless her heart. She was like, why are you doing a dinner party? Why don't you? And she mentioned names. Why don't you do it like so-and-so person that has done concert? I was like, okay, was I there when God told that person? Do you understand? This is me. So that's one of the experiences. But when the album now came out, people were like, it's nice, but they called specific artists that they were comparing me to. This person would have done that. And, you know, that affected me. Even the producer I worked with was trying to put me in a box as well, because it's like, you have to do it. I was like, but that's not me, you know? And when people try, obviously, you know, just trying to put on a pair of shoes that is not your size, you will struggle and it will hurt. And that was what was happening to me. You know, I couldn't be my, I love both albums that I've released, but I believe that I was being put in a box. I was trying to, you know, they were trying to like, okay, this is how you should do it. This is who you should be. But one of the things I did, which was my second album. She's like, I'm tired. I'm tired of people telling me to do what to wear. When I released the album art work for my second album, oh my goodness, Tose. Don't you know your pastor? Don't you know? I was like, excuse me?
Really?
How does that? So all of that, I just said, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to be me. I'm going to do me. And if you have a problem with that, fine, go look for someone else. You know, you don't have to follow me. You don't have to be in my circle. And that's why I wrote that book, You're Not Everyone's Cup of Tea. Because obviously I was suffering from that approval addiction. This one says, do this, I will try. This one says, wear this, I will try. But in all of that, I was frustrated until I decided, I even told my husband recently, you want me to dress like this and dress like that? But I just got tired and said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to be me. Those who would love me for me will show up for me. So I don't need everybody on my side, much as, unfortunately, that's good news for somebody, much as I want everyone to be on your side, be with you. It is not possible. You would not have everyone who you like, you love you, or your product, your business, or your career. Focus on the one person that does like you. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to be me. I'm going to dress how I want to dress. I'm going to sing how I want to sing. Yes, there might be off keys and all of that, but it's still me. You just got to love me for me. So I think those two experiences, you know, I just got tired, really.
No, I mean, it's interesting you're saying that. It's so, isn't it like a normal thing? I mean, I listened to a training a couple of days ago, and he was talking about different levels of democracy. So it was, I'm sure you're wondering why I was listening to something that was talking about democracy. He was talking about, you know, that only about 4% of the world was fully democratic, and then about 30% was partial. Partial democracy, and then the rest were living in repressive regimes.
Whoa.
And I couldn't help thinking, you know, about how many places and how many, not just in terms of countries now, but in terms of families, you know, where we are forced into. And it comes, I think, actually, to a very large extent, it comes, especially depending on the generation you grew up in. I think that it starts from the family unit. You are told to be this, and you are told to do that, you know. And even though you know you don't really fit into that box, especially if you love your parents and you love your family, you do try to fit into that box. And then you just realize that it's not just working. And there are so many people that are still in that repressive state. So I'm glad that you're talking about this, and kind of to an extent, giving our listeners, who I know are predominantly women, giving them that permission that it's okay to be different. It's okay to be you, whatever that flavor looks like. And I think that's what God even wants. You know, I mean, I think that we've all been created unique. And you know, we've all been created unique and remarkable in ourselves, and we bring this flavor and this color. And when we all come with our different colors and our different flavors, there is vibrancy and there's beauty.
It's just so beautiful.
I totally get that. I was going to ask you, because you've mentioned, you've talked about your book, You're Not Everyone's Cup of Tea. I loved that title the first time I saw it. I was like, that is so apt. And I'm sure probably it came from a conversation, because it sounds very much like it was a conversation having with someone. Is that right?
Yes. So, I mean, just like I was saying, because instead, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't be that, you know, mom, be wife, be, and all of that kind of thing. And you know what? I think, I don't know if it was a conversation or if it was a Facebook post I did, you know, and somewhere in my notes, because I had to screenshot it. So it was a Facebook post. You know how I like to just go on Facebook or whatever platform and just share my thoughts. So I shared that, and I put that at the end of the day, you're not everybody's cup of tea. And you know what? The amount of people that responded to it, especially Caucasians, I was like, oh, wow, okay. You know, and so that was how it came about. And when I was going to write my book, and I was talking to my book coach, and I just told her, you know what? I think this is what I want to call the book. And she was like, spot on. So she did all the checks and all that. And saying that, I've been wanting to do a podcast as well. So that's going to be the title of my podcast as well. You're not nice. Everyone's cup of
Very tea. Nice. I'm looking forward to that because I think I can already
it's
see
gonna it. Be, it's going to be, the conversations are just going to be crazy.
I love it. If only we will come to that realization that it's okay not to be everybody's
It's okay to be different.
It's okay
my
to be
friend
different.
Says, yeah, my friend says it is fashionable to be different. Yeah. I so agree with that.
No, absolutely. I hope our kids especially are taking, because you know when I hear of peer pressure and I'm like, isn't it funny that as teenagers especially you're trying to fit in, but as you become an adult, it is in your best interest to try and stand out. So I'm like, why don't we start then? And there are people actually, even though I'm saying this, I know there are people, especially in certain countries that I'm not going to mention, that peer pressure continues for a lifetime. It never ends. You are subject to peer pressure for the rest of your life. And I'm like, when are we going to start teaching that? The only way you're going to make it, especially in the world, especially with this information overload, is to stand out.
Yeah. Yeah,
and be yourself and be different.
Yeah,
that's the only ticket to actually making it in the online world. You're going to have to stand out and be different, you know. So I totally get that. So thank you for that. So I'm wondering what's next for you with everything else that you're doing.
Watch the space, Dorset. Watch the space.
Well, you've already told us one. There is a podcast and it's going to be called,
there's a podcast.
You're not everyone's cup of tea. Sure.
Yeah. There's a podcast coming. And if you've been following my broadcast, you would have seen that I'm doing a lot more live shows. So we're taking the broadcasting to visual. So there's going to be more. So there's going to be more of that. And hope more music. I was supposed to have written 2 books by now. Oh my God.
2 extra books or another one?
Yeah, 2 extra books. So, I was going to do a book on, obviously, my business, media, Instagram. The title of that one is Get Your Game On. Get Your Instagram On. The book cover and all that. But unfortunately, it was supposed to come out on my birthday, but I don't think it will work out. And 2 journals. So yeah, those are things.
So there are definitely things in the pipeline then.
There's things.
which is not surprising, obviously. So
you are not surprised.
While we kind of round up, I just have a couple of questions left for you. I'm just wondering, so what sort of, so I kind of like to go with the power of 3. So what kind of, do you have like 3 tidbits of advice that you can give to our listeners that are chasing their dreams on their own terms? They are trying to, they've heard what you said. They have that permission now, or they feel they have that permission now, that courage to go and be themselves and be different. How do they, what advice would you give them?
Okay. Firstly, I mean, you've got all your whys and your goals and all of that sorted. I would say take action and do it now. Start now, perfect later. I love that one a lot. Start now, perfect later. Learn on the job. Secondly, if you've got any talent or you've learned anything new, look for someone to impact with that knowledge. It helps you grow. It helps, it builds you up. And it's like your training ground. So any area of your life you feel like you've called to do business, to do career, to finish, whatever area, always look for someone else you can impact with that knowledge, because it helps you grow. You learn on the process. Thirdly, be you, just be you. Be your authentic self, show up as you, even if that you has a lot of challenges and messes and successes, victories. Just show up as yourself. One of my coaches will say an expert is not someone who knows a lot about everything around the world, but you're an expert in that, in your niche, and you know maybe just 1% more than the people in your industry. So rather than think, oh, but somebody else is doing it, somebody else is doing that, they don't have your story, they don't have your journey. So show up as your real self, show up as your authentic self, and you'll make it.
Cool. Yeah. You keep mentioning, talking about your coach said that, and one of your coaches said that, and I'm like, so how important is, you know, having, you know, that sort of I guess accountability and accountability.
Yeah. Mentorship and accountability is so important, because for me, after I had all of these dreams, visions, plans, I was working in it, I needed like structure, you know, and a coach helps you, because I've noticed, even when I was doing my rebrand, my brand didn't do anything. Everything came from me. Do you understand? So there are things in you, but because of everything that we are battling with or struggling with, you know, it's hard to even see clearly. So a coach, a mentor, an accountability partner will help you. Right now, you will think that, okay, Aloha, you know so many things. I just got off an accountability session with this. Why? Because there's this I've just found, you know, who... As in, when she was giving me that, I was like, I know things. Yes, you know them, but do you do them? You know, so you need someone who will kick you and say, hey, get out there. You're supposed to speak to 5 people every day. Now I'm like, oh God, where are the 5 people? Do I? So, coaching, mentorship, accountability is so important to your growth, to your journey, your development. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. So there's this exercise that I discovered. So there's... there's a I took this course a couple of years ago, and one of the things we were all asked to do, the facilitator asked us to do, was to post a picture of our selves from when we were children. So I think I pulled up a picture from when I was about 5 or thereabouts, and I was wearing this traditional attire and stuff. I love that picture because I felt that it not only depicted my origin, that's my culture, I loved I love to show my culture where I can, and but that was just, that's just an aside. just to say that she asked us to write a letter to our childhood selves, and you know, basically giving our childhood selves permission, and basically just a letter. So I guess my question is, the Eloha today, you know, looking back to the Eloha at maybe 8 years old 5 years old 6 years old, what would you tell her?
Okay. Dear Eloho, you are amazing. You are beautiful. You are so valued. You are worth it. You are valuable. You are loved. You are fearless. So go out there. Just do you. Be you. And don't let anything hold you back. You, there's greatness on the inside of you. You just need to walk in it, discover it. So those are some of the things I'll tell my 8-year-old.
Absolutely. And probably the fact that you're going to turn out okay in spite of everything else.
Exactly.
You will turn out okay.
You will be okay.
You will be okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Where can folks find you? Where can they buy the book? You're not everyone's cup of tea. Where can they find you? I know it shouldn't be difficult to find her, actually, guys.
It's not difficult at all. I interviewed someone this morning who said, Google is my friend. Just type my name on Google.
Actually, that is so true. That is so true. If you literally type in Eloha, just her name, her first name, without even if you think the surname, so Eloho, without even putting her surname, because I sometimes I'm too lazy to type in going to the bar. So I just literally just type Eloha, and then everything I need comes out. So you could do that, but just in case there are people, like, you know, they're very technical, I don't want to do Google, they feel like, you know what, Google is taking is they are making me dull in my mind. You know, there are people that say that Google is affecting that. They want to keep sharp. So where they can, where, please give us your
I am Eloho Ifemuai across all platforms, and my surname is spelled Echo Freddy Echo Mother Union Alpha India. You can tell I've been doing this a lot of times. So
me too.
So Eloho Ifemuai across all platforms: YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and where else? Where
are you on TikTok?
No, I haven't done that one. I haven't done that one. I thought my kids, I think it's my eldest son who says I shouldn't go on there. So yeah.
How about Clubhouse?
Oh yeah, and Clubhouse as well. Eloho Ifemuai, yep.
Absolutely great and marvelous. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tose, for having me.
To you. Thank you so much for your vulnerability and just being, like you've said so many times in the interview already, just being yourself. I really appreciate that. And I know our listeners would appreciate that as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And all the best. I'm looking forward to listening to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, sis.
All right.
My friend, are a total rock legend for listening to this episode to the end. I hope you found value in it. And if you did, would you do me a quick favor? Would you rate and review this podcast on the platform you're listening? And if the platform you're listening doesn't have the facility to rate and review, then please share the episode with your friends and your loved ones. It will go such a long way in helping spread the word of this podcast. And until next time, remember, you're a unique, remarkably creative person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
You think that nothing will become of me, that I'll never come to anything, but I rise. Yes, you might have given up. You couldn't see what I see when I rise. I'm stronger.